It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Brian from the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And this is Matthew, commonly known as Duke Vega from Project Gaming. I'm the lead designer of Alien Evolution.
And you're listening to the 194th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the MMO Neverwinter. Today we are joined by Matthew from Project Evolution. Awesome stuff. First of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, man. So 194, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, we've been busy since we took it over. Yeah, we started it, took over the podcast in episode 132. So, you know, can't claim credit for one to 131, but we can from 132 plus.
I heard it got better when you took it over.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That was the idea, always moving forward. The previous host and the creators of the podcast did a fantastic job getting it started and busting out 131 episodes. And, you know, we were honored to take
it. That's a lot of episodes, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, yeah, God bless their souls. And, you know, we're glad to be a part of the Neverwinter Nights podcast and to forge ahead with it. Here we are at episode 194.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, I don't think I've ever been interviewed for anything. I've never done that anything that great in my life that deserves anyone to bother saying, oh, fucking hell, let's talk to this guy. So for once, it's actually quite nice that someone says, hey, look what he's done. Let's talk to him about this.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here for. I mean, we've done this for 3-4 years now. And the idea is to get people's stuff out there, you know, for other people to hear about and to talk about the projects, get some buzz about it from the social media side of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you get started off telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got started working on your project? And
yeah, sure. I mean, I'm like any other average Joe out there. I'm from England. I'm 33, married. I have a dog and a cat. Sometimes the dog humps the cat, but I won't go into that just yet. I have been playing online games since online gaming started. I remember the days where 56k dial-up modems were a standard, and, you know, latency. You were lucky if you could join a game and get somewhere in the region of about 800 to 1,000. That was kind of the standard that everyone had. And as the internet grew and we all got a bit older and we finally realized that gaming was going to be the future of things, all these vast arrays of games started appearing. But where it all started, and the game that will always be at my heart, and I'm sure a lot of people relate to this, is a game called Ultima Online. I don't know if you played it at all, Brian.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, Brian, those were the days.
Yes, they were. I put those up there with the Gold Box games. I don't know if you ever played those before from TSR, the first AD&D games on a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Ultima Online was something different, especially if you're into like role playing. If you're a nerdy role player and you like to, you know, get into character, Ultima Online was perfect for it. It had such an advanced system that even games today very rarely manage to pick up and do it properly. The house building system, the leveling system, the way that you could interact, and kind of even just the isometric view, which is very similar in a way to what Neverwinter Nights has.
Right, absolutely.
As Neverwinter Nights came onto the scene a few years later, I remember the original, the first version of the game came out, and I managed to get myself a job as admin on a Dungeons & Dragons server. I think it was Dragonlance. Now, we're talking a long time ago. It's almost a lifetime ago. But I love the engine. I love the style of the play, the way that players could interact with each other. And we spent, I don't know, I must have worked on that server for about a year being admin. I can't even remember who it was now, but I think they were quite successful. As time has gone by, we've seen more and more games pop up. The demon that is WoW, World of Warcraft, took over for quite some time. On its launch, World of Warcraft was a very good game in the essence that nothing like it had been done before. The graphics were good. It was huge for an online system. And, you know, at one point it had more players than, I think, small countries. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
They did do well. But as gamers kind of got to know, the game itself wasn't very good. There wasn't really much behind it. It was all just in an Excel spreadsheet and a bunch of numbers popping up. And you click and you press a button and that's it. As time's gone on, we saw games like, do you remember Star Wars Galaxies?
Absolutely.
That was a very clever game. Again, you look at that and you compare it to Ultima Online. They're kind of on par with each other. Star Wars Galaxies kind of reminds me a bit closer to Neverwinter Night. But I got to say, the game that I've probably played the most from a role-play aspect is actually Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I don't know if you've tried playing that at
all. No, I have not played that before, but I never heard, never would have put the two together as a great RP game.
Well, this is it. You'd be surprised. There was a mod that someone built called SAMP, San Andreas Multiplayer, which allowed you to create servers, script it with C++, and then you could throw together your own mapping system as well. You could create maps, upload it, and create communities. And actually, from that sprung quite a few well-known and deserved communities that have, when I say have made thousands of dollars, I can think of some of the San Andreas multiplayer service, which probably pull in, I think at one time one of them was pulling in $15,000 a month in donations.
Holy smokes.
that is holy smokes. That is crazy. Yeah. Now, I kind of retired now, but I was a director of Project Gaming, which is projectgaming.net, which is just a website community that's all about role-playing. And we actually run a SAMP server. So we've kind of been running this server for several years now. And it's all about the post-apocalyptic world of San Andreas after a kind of zombie apocalypse.
Nice.
So you run around, it's a bit like Fallout, you know, everything's messed up, and you'll find that there's zombie bots, there's like some of the players are zombies, you can get eaten, but it's very strict on the role play side of things. Like, you have to stay in character, you have to follow the rules. If you don't, you will get jailed, you will get possibly banned from the server. And I must have spent hours and hours and hours and weeks and days playing various different Grand Theft Auto servers. So when it comes to what I'm working on today, I can't even go back to all the games that I've played over the years and the games that I've really enjoyed playing. And then I've looked at Neverwinter Night and I thought, well, what can we do with this today? I mean, I know it's outdated. I know it's an old system and a lot of people don't really like Neverwinter Night. But actually, when you really get into the editing side of things and the tool set, there's a lot you can do with it, as of course you well know.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So I think, like, potentially, I thought, right, I'm gonna build a game. I've got a gaming community, which I'm a retired owner of. I can easily get players in. I can promote it. We've got some of the best forums. We've got a guy, he's an absolute genius. He's sorted out all the forums, and they literally are, you know, top of the range. So I thought, right, let's build a Neverwinter Night server. I don't know anything about scripting, I'll tell you now. Pretty good at mapping. I'm pretty good at video editing, as you've seen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Promotions, social media, all that kind of stuff. So from a kind of project management point of view, I'm ideal. But when it comes to scripting, I don't really have a clue. I can do basic things. If I look at a script, I can roughly understand what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual depth that is, if someone said to me, right, let's, you know, I often ask questions on the BioWare forums, and people say, oh, you just need to do this, 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 and this, and this. And even though I'm like, oh, dude, thanks, you know, cheers for that, I don't actually have a clue what they're talking about. But I'm very lucky in the position that I got a friend, and he's helping me build the server when he gets some free time. So, you know, hopefully at some point we will get this project finished. But I originally thought about Alien Evolution years ago. Do you remember the first Alien versus Predator game that came out on the PC?
Absolutely. One of my favorites, actually.
I think it came out year 2000. And it, actually,
yep.
If we look at the Aliens franchise, it's been a bit of a hit and a miss. Alien, very good film, 1970s. Aliens in the 80s, fantastic classic film. Alien 3, okay, we'll accept it into the series. Alien Resurrection, sort of messed up, let's face it.
Yeah, definitely.
Aliens versus Predator, oh boy. I mean, they had the budget, they had the actors, they had everything. They must have got the wrong director. And then Alien versus Predator 2, not only did they make the first mistake, they made it twice.
Yes.
So the franchise has taken a little bit of a pump. There have been some games released going back to AVP in the year 2000, the original Aliens versus Predator.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good game. The multiplayer aspect of it was fantastic. And I remember playing on, do you remember the, I think it was Survival. So all of the players start as humans, except for one who starts as an alien. Every time the alien kills someone, that that marine player then turns into an alien. So the infection expands, so to speak.
Right.
And I remember being on a server, probably chatting to people on TeamSpeak, and some of the guys, Americans, started role-playing over TeamSpeak. They actually started pretending to be characters from the films as we were playing. Of course, absolutely hilarious. And at that point, I thought, wouldn't it be good if we had a game that was an RPG based upon the Aliens versus Predator world? There was something similar. There was a console game called Alien versus Predator Extinction, which was kind of like Command and Conquer, but with Alien. And I kind of looked at that and I thought, yeah, it'd be really good if someone would build that game. As the years went by, no one did build it, to my disgust. And then eventually, when I started thinking, only a few months ago, the tail end of last year, about building my own Neverwinter Nights server, I came across the infamous Xenograph Arms 2 server, which was being built by Chaz.
Right.
And I looked at this, and I looked at their videos, and I thought, okay, let's have a look at this. So I got onto their server, downloaded it, and logged in. And to my amazement, I found that someone had actually spent probably hours, if not weeks, months of their time building this futuristic mod pack. Buildings, weapons, plant, clothing, armor, ships, vehicles, everything you'd need to build, you know, a futuristic world within the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. You could do so much with it. Now, with all the sci-fi films that we've got, ranging from Star Wars to Dune to Blade Runner to Avatar, Terminator to Alien, you can actually do something really good. So I started chatting to Chaz very briefly over their forums, who basically said that their community wasn't doing so well, things weren't going right. So I kind of offered to help, and I offered to get them in Project Gaming, where I think actually if they'd come to us, we could have probably got them not only more admins to help them run the server, but more players, which has assured me that she knew what she was doing and everything was going to be cool. So I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to think of something, I'm going to do it. If you want to get involved or do something together, give me a shout. So I went on to Project Gaming, and I just put a couple of adverts out saying, right, I want to do this, I want to build a server, does anyone know anything about Neverwinter Nights 2 engine, because I don't. And actually someone sent me a message, and they said, Duke, yeah, I do. I've built servers. I know all about it. I can script. Let's do something. And that, his name is Yunus Karay. He's a young man from Turkey who sadly couldn't be with us today, only because he's in a rock and roll band. And he's like, it's summertime. And obviously, when you live in, especially the Mediterranean area of the world, the summertime is the only time that you're going to make money.
Right.
So at the moment, he's really busy, which is a shame, because going back into the winter times when we first thought of this, I was quite busy with work at the time. So even though I managed to start the project, he had loads of free time, but I didn't. As time's gone on a bit, we're in a position now where I've got more free time, but he's really busy. So between us, you know, we managed to hook up two or three times a week just to sort of go over everything and try and progress things a little bit further, step at a time. But I can tell you now, it's getting there slowly. We've got a very nice deddy. I'm fortunate enough that I know people who are in the business of supplying dedicated servers, and I've managed to get a UK London-based Xeon, that's 12 processors, 4 gig of RAM, tons of bandwidth for literally nothing. It costs me $20 a month.
Oh,
we've
great.
Got the server up. We've just uploaded Neverwinter Nights 2. Eunice is slowly putting together the maps. I can tell you now, and in fact, let me just open up my Dropbox. What have we done? I mean, I've put together probably 30 maps. I can tell you now, the mapping I've done is really dark. Kind of looked at the Aliens films, I've looked at the Aliens comic, and everything is dark. There's no nice areas, even the base where the humans will be surviving. But it's quite dark and dingy. I want everyone to have that kind of claustrophobic feel, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
That kind of film, you know, The films gave off that intense desperation of there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to escape, these creatures are there, they're going to get you, they're going to get in. So I've kind of created the whole world with a default setting for the weather and the lighting. And if you look at the Aliens film, the second one, where it's like kind of blue colors and the mist and the darkness, everything's kind of like that. Sorry, you're about to say something?
Yeah, actually, when you bring this up, when you talk about the lighting and the environment and the general ambience of what you're putting together, I mean, that's something that I've talked about for a long time. It goes, when you're building a map, yeah, you can build a map, but there are so many other things you can do to really sell the map, and not just the map, the environment of the game itself. You know, like what you're doing with the lighting, the environment, you know, taking the time to go look at what has been done and portrayed in the movies and how it made you feel as you're going through watching the film or whatever, you know, you incorporate that into your product, it's definitely going to show. I mean, that extra time and the effort you're putting into making it look right and feel right is really going to sell the product at the end of the day.
I think it's very important. You've got to look at the look of things, the feeling of things, and of course the sound.
Yep.
Because those are the things that we as humans pick up on.
Absolutely.
Going with the trend of the Aliens, as I said, I've got to keep it dark and dingy and claustrophobic. So I think you'll find that players, when they do come onto the server, when it is up and running, they're not going to, I don't want them to feel safe wherever they are. The human colony will be kind of safe, but they're going to have to leave that colony, and they're going to have to go and gather food and drink and supplies, because we're going to have scripts which forces people to have to eat and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, they're going to die. And in fact, I'm seriously considering making it so that if they don't eat and drink, they get a character kill, i.e. their character dies and it gets deleted. So you have to eat, you have to drink. which means you're going to have to go out exploring. And unfortunately, as with the theme of the server and the game, there are going to be aliens. There are going to be facehuggers. And we all know facehuggers are about rape.
Yep.
Face rape. That's all they did. So
yep.
You're going to have to go looking, and you're going to come across these creatures. And that's how we're going to make the game. It's going to be quite intense. I want people to be jumping in their seats.
That's awesome. Well, a lot of what you said is definitely possible. And, you know, I think, you know, bringing us to the next topic, you know, is as far as what type of server it's going to be, I think it's pretty easily, handily to say it's going to be a role-play-based server. It's not going to be, you know, just flat hack and slash type of thing. Quote,
tell you what it's going to be. I know for a fact that no one's going to want to join a server if they're going to start at level one. Level one. Go kill some crabs. 5 crabs. 10. Oh, you're at level 2. Scrap all of that. Everyone's going to start with a reasonable level. Let's say, I haven't even worked it out yet, but let's say level 15 or something. Because you're a guy, you've been selected for this top secret rescue mission. You've been flown 6 years through space. They didn't pick you because you can't kill a badger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right.
They picked you because, you know, you're kind of cool. You're a rookie in the Marines. You're the kind of guy that can pick up a gun. If something's coming at you, you can probably shoot at it and kill it. Probably. I'm going to say if there's perhaps 2 or 3 aliens coming at you, you might have a problem. In fact, you're going to have a problem. Maybe you're going to need some form of backup, be it with NPCs, be it with other players. I want to make this game soloable because I know that sometimes you're going to be the only player on there. But at the same time, there's going to be some points of the game where you're going to need a team to get through it. It's going to be an RPG game, but I want it to have an action feel. I don't want the players to feel like just because they've just joined the game, they're useless, they can't do anything. It won't be like that. You will be someone who's got a gun in your hand and can go and kill stuff, but you're still going to have to be a little bit careful.
Makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things whenever I just got onto your project, you know, on the BioWare forums and looking at it and everything. It was, like I said, you know, I had messaged you and I said, you know, this is something that's fresh. This is going to be something different. And it really, I think, gives a lot of different support to, you know, what people want to see. You know, I mean, I know it's Never Winter Nights, but, you know, with the work, the modifications that you're doing, the things that you're planning, I know they're totally possible. B, I know that it's going to be definitely a fresh perspective and something that's going to be different than anything else is out there. You know, yeah. And I think it's awesome, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything takes time. I'm hoping to have it released and playable within a couple of months, I'd have thought. It depends. I think we probably need to get someone else to come on and help us, which I think is probably your next question.
Yeah, it you are a soothsayer. Yeah.
If someone wants to get involved, like, come onto the Project Gaming forums. My name on there is Duke. Give me a shout or just go onto my Facebook. I'm sure I've linked it somewhere. And say to me, look, I'll get involved. Because at the moment, like, I've done so much of the kind of basic building. Like, I've got all the NPCs are built. Most of the items are built. Literally all of the maps are built. I can tell you now, the human colonies, I've put so much detail into them. It's ridiculous. A lot of the custom graphics for, like, inventory and for the quick, you know, for, like, the quick, what are they called? Quick slots.
Quick slots, yeah.
I've made the custom graphics for those because I've got Photoshop.
Nice.
Some of the scripting's been done by Eunice. What we really need is someone who's got more time than poor Eunice, who is literally out doing gigs with his rock and roll band every day, who can just say, yeah, don't worry, I can start patching all that together and building it up and putting it together. Because actually, if there was someone that could help do that, the chances are, if we spend a bit of time together, I would probably be able to pick up on most of it, you know, reasonably quickly. After a while, I'll be able to look at scripts and say, right, okay, I can copy that. I can edit it to fit that other item. And next thing we know, something else is built. So if anyone does want to get involved, they are more than welcome. Just give me a shout.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I know that there are a lot of people in the community still that are, like you said, responding on the forums to questions and getting stuff like that. Plus, there's a lot of resources available. I know that there are plugins and stuff. I mean, I've seen the Legends plugins and things like that that are, you know, publicly available. I think, like, stuff like that might be a great source of information for you, as well as even our website. We have this content showcase for Neverwinter Nights 2, where we have a lot of things that I've found in my work that have really made things better. You know, the stuff that we didn't develop, but, you know, a lot of other people have put the time and effort into putting that stuff out there for you. So I think all those things will be great resources to you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I look over some of the scripts and stuff that are already online, and it's just so much content. I mean, I try and make notes of everything and say, right, because I know this will be useful in a month's time, or we need this next week. There's so much stuff you can do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. And something else, too. I mean, one of the things that really stands out to what you're doing, and I think it's going to cause work, but at the same time, you may actually be far better off than most others, is the fact that since you are taking a different perspective and a different, you know, fresh perspective on the game, you're dumping a lot of the core game mechanics that have been problematic. You know, you have different classes and different things like that. I'm imagining that you're planning on making your own custom classes.
There's no custom classes. Everyone will be a human warrior. If you try and be anything else, I think it's going to disconnect you and tell you to log back on or contact an admin or something. Or it'll stick you in a black room with nothing in there.
Well, that could work. Well, that's something else you could do, too. I mean, and just briefly, you know, you can go in and you can disable all the other classes in the classes 2DA file.
Yeah.
Absolutely you can. You just got to make sure that you incorporate that into one of your hacks that are tied to your module. This way that and force the auto-downloader. This way nobody can cheese their own copy.
Yeah.
on your server. If you do that, if you override the classes 2DA file, boom, you're done.
Ah, fantastic.
It's simple as that.
We don't need any other classes. Like, everyone will be just a human colonial marine. So you don't need anything, really. You're going to have access to weapons. I can tell you now about weapons if you want to hear about the weapons.
Absolutely.
Well, looking at the Xenograph Arms 2 hack pack, there was quite a few different models for weapons already in. Weapons do need a bit of work. At the moment, they're kind of connected to crossbows. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have that boring animation. Anyway, I posted on the forums, as you probably saw, and a few people made some suggestions on how to do it.
Right.
And then I finally loaded up the Neverwinter Night 2 toolset animation maker, animation viewer.
Yep, animation viewer, yep.
My God, isn't it fun?
It is. There's tons of stuff you can do with that.
So far I've made 4 animations. We've got a shotgun. So your standard close range, heavy damaging shotgun. It sprays out. There's a flash of light from the muzzle effect, and then it sprays out towards the target. We've got you've got the pulse rifle. The pulse rifle was fun to make, because I kind of repeated the animations. When you start firing, it's just a loop of animations with flashing lights and the muzzle effects, which I've done very quickly. So you kind of just get this spraying effect of a machine gun. And of course, I've got the sound files from the Aliens film. So once we've added all that together, it's going to be like you're shooting a pulse rifle. It's going to be quite good fun. Flamethrower is probably my favorite. You literally shoot a flame towards the lower part of the target's body. The flame then bursts out. There's a trail of smoke coming from behind it. And then as the flamethrower dies down, the target stays on fire.
Nice.
So it's going to look good. Again, if anyone wants to get involved and come script all of this, please let me know. Otherwise, Eunice will get round to it as soon as he's not so busy. And I'm sure he's more incapable of doing it. So, yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, every day I try and do a couple of hours at least of just working on different bits. And as I said, I think eventually we'll get there. Day I try and do a couple of hours on various different parts of the game. And eventually we'll have it all put together.
Definitely what you have going is something that really very interested in seeing getting done, and definitely helping you promote it every which way I possibly can. You know, we'll definitely be talking about it. And, you know, we're going to Gen Con later this year in August. And, you know, in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's one of the biggest game fairs in the U.S.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's even better. Cool. So one of the things that we're going to be doing there in our couple of our last episodes, 199 and our final episode in 200, you know, we're going to be spending time talking about these things to the audience, because we're going to have live audiences there. And we're gonna, you know, this is exactly one of the projects that I will be bringing up. hopefully it's at least in beta status, so that we can start directing some people to it, and, you know, have some stuff to show at the convention on our monitors, you know, type of deal. So
I don't see why not. We're pretty close to getting there. I'm sure Eunice will have a day off or so next week, and he might be able to get the server up and running, so we can start developing it online.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I think that with having that available and you having that going for you, hopefully you get some others, like you said, of scripting support and staff members that can really start, you know, cobbling everything together with your vision.
Well, everyone is probably busy doing their own thing, and some people might want to get involved. Some people probably don't have the time. At the end of the day, it's like anything in life. If you want to get something done, you probably have to, you know, do it yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. Just from our own personal experiences, it's definitely been the case. At least at the beginning, it was more like that. It was for a small group of people that, were really dedicated to getting the job done. And then after that, things start falling into place. And I think that you'll find the same thing happen to you where, once you get the ball rolling and established and the vision is, people see your vision on screen, on the game, they'll be like,
once they start playing it, they'll love it. One thing I will point out, actually, is there are some subtle differences between my game and the Aliens movies. Because before I started doing this, I kind of started thinking about copyright and the legal laws. 20th Century Fox probably wouldn't be too happy that I was building a game on their multi-million dollar franchise that's failed miserably with several terrible films and games, not to mention Alien Colonial Marines that's just come out. But there are some subtle differences. Facehuggers, we're going to call them something slightly different, maybe a headhugger. No, they kind of look the same. They'll be very similar, but there'll be subtle differences. Pulse rifle, I might call it an M33 pulse rifle instead of an M62 pulse rifle. Characters have got very subtle name changes from characters in the films. So what I've done is I've created a parody. It's a fan-made parody. As far as I'm concerned, with regards to the legal aspects of things, if at any time 20th Century Fox ever did look at this and say, right, shut it down, we're not having this, oh no, and good luck to them, because it's a very different game to any of their games or films.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's something you definitely... I mean, I doubt you would have a problem... First of all, I mean,
cause I doubt it.
I highly doubt because, I mean, technically speaking, any persistent world that's running right now, including Baldur's Gate for number one comes to mind. I mean, they're totally copyright infringing the name and of the product, that wasn't even Neverwinter Nights 2 or even us. I know we have Realms of Trinity, but, we're in Forgotten Realms as well. And we're using copywritten names, and different things that, so if and they're not coming after us. So
the only reason I did this is because I was looking over the internet about custom Neverwinter Nights 2 servers, and someone had built Fallout using Neverwinter Nights 2, and Bethesda actually shut them down. Do you know about this?
No, I don't actually. That's interesting.
I think it was some Russian developers, some Russian kids had done it, and do you know what? It looked like they were doing an amazing job, all custom UI, all stuff copied from Fallout. But unfortunately, Bethesda did shut them down. So I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to put the time into this. I need to do a few certain things just to try and safeguard it. I'm going to admit I might have borrowed some sound files from 20th Century Fox. If there really is an issue, I suppose I could remove them. But hopefully the subtle differences will be enough that actually it's not linked to the actual Alien franchise.
Right. Well, that's something. You're right. I mean, you definitely have to be, cognizant of that. I guess it really depends on the game company, and I guess it really depends on how they were doing the Fallout thing, especially a game that's or something that's being marketed as is. So if you're trying to use their assets or make your own version of that using a different engine and marketing it as your own, I could see somebody protecting their copy. Right.
With the corporations.
that one's a little bit different. Whereas like what we're doing is a Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world and module creators and stuff that we're doing what the game was intended to be done. And that's why I don't think that Wizards of the Coast or anybody are, trying to shut them down because actually we're perpetrating their product still.
this is going out to anyone else that's thinking about doing the same. I was talking to a guy earlier that was thinking about making a Star Wars server for Neverwinter Nights. If you do it, just kind of protect yourself or just think about it. It's worth doing.
Right.
I'm not sure it's going to be fail-proof. Also, the understanding of the law is that if you're not charging any money for the game, if there's no payment involved whatsoever, actually, you can pretty much do what you want.
Right. Absolutely. Everything really becomes a problem when you are commercially marketing a product that's using intellectual property from
money. Money, the root of all evil, Brian.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately,
this project.
Unfortunately, it takes money to actually produce what you do. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes with when you're hosting electronic games, though. That's the problem.
See, just on another thought, which is kind of linked, a lot of people have said to me, why are you using the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine? It's boring, it's crap, it's out of date. Why don't you use Unity to make this game? Uh-huh. Have you experienced Unity at all as a game engine?
Yes, I have. We're looking at that right now, as a matter of fact, that product.
God, it's sexy, isn't it? I downloaded it last night. I'm a bit lost. I would have to go through the tutorials, but I really want $3,000 just to buy it. And maybe some of the add-ons.
Well, here's something to think about, too, about Unity. I mean, this is something that's interesting. They do have it. You can actually use it for free, but you can't use it to produce any commercially product. You have to have a commercial license.
I want the Facebook license. Do you know what? The mobile apps and the Facebook one, like, if people could get a team together, and you would need a team, and you were to produce, you could produce a simple game that you put in the App Store for iPhones for 99 cents or $1.
Right.
You can make a huge amount of money if 10,000 or a million people buy it.
Yeah.
So yes, Unity does look very tempting. And a lot of people have said to me, you should be using this. But you know what? I'm already halfway through this project. I'm going to finish this project. I don't care how long it takes. It'll probably take another year before it's really stable and running perfectly. In a year's time, if it works out and a lot of people like the game, maybe I'll look at purchasing the Unity software and really learning it. And maybe a year after that, I'll look at Kickstarter and try and do a Kickstarter campaign, because then I can go back and say, well, hey, look, I've built some games.
Right.
I've built some very good games. They were quite successful. I run a gaming community.
Right.
So I'll do things in stages. But right now, I'll stick to the Neverwinter Night tool set. I think it has got potential.
It certainly does.
I'm very happy with the maps we've built so far and the couple of people that have seen them. Do you know a guy called Jacob Funk?
No,
Who is he on the BioWare forums? You'd know Jacob, I'm sure you would. I forget his name on the forums now. Even he looked at some of the maps and he was like, yeah, these are cool. And this guy's been playing Neverwinter Night since it came out, I think. Eunice, my scripter, when he first looked at the maps, he said, dude, I've never seen maps like this. They're crazy. They're insane. How would you map like this? And Jacob also said, how do you map so quickly? How have you built all these maps in such a short period of time? And my only tip to anyone else that's building maps is take a template, and that one map can be every single map. Just change things within that map. Move things around. Change it slightly, the borders. Expand things. Change the size of things. Make some water. Move the water. Make the trees. Move trees. And before you know it, actually, map building doesn't take that long.
No, there is a lot of... like you said, there's techniques that you can do to greatly speed up the process.
Yeah, you've got a lot of capability there to blend with the colors. The Xenograph Arms 2 hack pack did come with some interesting terrain, tile sets. So yeah, going back to the design of the maps, I think a lot of players are going to find they probably haven't seen anything like this.
Probably not, from what I've seen. Probably not. That's one of the things that stood out to me when I was looking at it. It was like, this is bust ass, man. This is flat out bust ass. I enjoy making different types of maps myself, really pushing the limits of the engine. And I certainly believe that's what you've done and succeeded in doing.
I won't give too much away about how the game starts, but I can assure you, when players first log onto the server and it first starts, you're going to be sat there looking at your screen going, what the f*** am I, like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go away from the first initial start map, and then starts kicking off. It starts going crazy. But your initial response from logging on the server will be, am I on the right game? have I got the wrong IP address?
Yep.
As soon as it starts, it gets crazy.
Yeah, and that's what I would call a success. And that's something that I think we kind of bordered on. But what are some of the best experiences and times you've had working on your project?
I focused upon the mapping. And I've kind of had the wonderful opportunity that not many people have probably experienced in life of creating an alien world. I've tried to kind of give it the feel from the Aliens films, but also made it a little bit more personal as to something that I think would be more fun. I can tell you, some of the map will take you, let's say, half an hour to walk around them and explore some of the underground areas, and you'll actually find that you've wasted half an hour of your time because they don't go anywhere. And I don't know if that's going to upset some. I hope it upsets some players. I hope that, oh god, what a waste of my time. Some of the maps, you'll think you're wasting your time, but actually, if you'd have just looked behind that tree, you'd have found that it would have taken you somewhere. Other times, the human colony I built, it's really detailed. Just as a little tip for the game, you kind of you're abandoned on this planet. You've been sent there on a rescue mission. You get there and there's no one there. It's like the Aliens film. Everyone's gone. So when you get there, it's kind of empty. And I've kind of tried to give it the feel that it was a busy, thriving place. And then suddenly, bang, everyone's gone. And there's still food on the table. There's still drinks that have been sat lying there. There's still, you know, guns propped against the wall. So yeah, I think the best experience has just been creating this unique little alien world and doing all the lighting and the effects and the mists and the fogs, kind of making it alive, which is what it needs to be a success. Otherwise it's just going to be another boring Neverwinter Nights server that people go, well, I've got a better account on another server, so I'll go back to this one.
Yeah,
when they come onto our server, they're gonna feel lost and probably raped, to be honest, after a while. I mean, I'll give you another little tip. Going back to the aliens, if the aliens kill your character, if you die, you won't necessarily die. There's a very good chance you'll wake up in the egg chamber where the facehuggers, oops, sorry, I mean headhuggers are. And then you're going to be given, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes to get back to the human colony before aliens start bursting out of your chest. And I think, like, one day I'd love to say, well, actually, we'll make it so that if you die by facehugger and the chest burster comes out of you, you become an alien. But I think that's a long way away yet. But maybe eventually.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, just the how you put everything together and everything that you're doing, I definitely think it's going to be a success. And I definitely do. I mean, we've talked to lots of different people over the years. And everyone that's been a success has the same idea. I mean, make it unique, make it special, time into it, and really add things that you're not going to see anywhere else. I mean, there aren't that many Neverwinter Nights 2 players anymore. And I think that you really got to do something to captivate the people.
I found a way to combat that. I have gone onto Steam communities, and obviously on Steam you've got four different Aliens games. You've got the upcoming Alien Isolation, which will be coming out perhaps this year. You've got Alien versus Predator 2000. You've got the terrible Aliens Colonial Marines, and you've got Aliens versus Predator, which came out in 2010. Well, all those games have their different discussion boards, so I've started advertising my game through those.
Oh, that's good.
The response has been really good. A few people have messaged me saying, awesome, can't wait for this game. I'll definitely come and play it. A few people have said, why are you using this engine? Use something else. But generally, the response has been quite cool. I've also gone onto like avpgalaxy.net, I think is the well-known Aliens versus Predator franchise forum. And it's funny, if you go into Google and if you type in Aliens Colonial Marines Roleplay or Aliens versus Predator roleplay forums, there's actually loads of different communities that pop up of people that just kind of sit there and type things out on a forum, and then they have little storylines which they develop between themselves and little games. So I started posting on some of those, and again, a few people have messaged me back and said, oh, this looks awesome, can't wait to play it. I think the biggest focus then will be players will be saying, well, do I want to spend $20 on a game? Because obviously they can download it from GOG.com. They either will or they won't. Perhaps they'll pirate it. I'm sure the Neverwinter Night piracy protection servers don't even work anymore, do they? I read somewhere.
I don't think so.
So, you know what? If someone wants to pirate it and play a game, I ain't going to stop them, put it that way. But, yep. If they want to buy it, they should do. It's only $20.
Well, yeah, and that was something in our last interview with the Amethyst Dragon. I mean, just like he was saying, you know, the bottom line is it's $20. You get access to countless amounts of material. It's not, you know, it's not just that you're just getting one thing out of it. You know, you're getting the game itself. Yeah, you may want to play the original campaign. Fine, great if you do, great if you don't. But there's a billion other pieces of content out there.
Exactly.
It's well worth it.
For me, the pain of hunting around for some kind of pirate copy that I could then download, then with the chance that it would probably load my computer with tons of viruses, isn't worth it.
No, not at all.
But I'm sure a lot of people will, let's face it, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that. Seeing it myself, you know, running a persistent world, you know, we track all that stuff, and the fact that I've seen many people with the same CD key. So yeah, it's going on pretty rampantly, unfortunately. But you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know how you want to look.
Yeah, I have owners of Neverwinter Nights kind of look at it and just shrug and go, well, it's a game that is old now that no one really plays and no one really cares about. Therefore, there's no point in us kicking up a fuss about it. We might as well just let them carry on, because it's kind of keeping it, like, the community, the online community is kind of keeping it alive for them. You know, there's a game which, you know, is out of date, but it's still going, and it's still going, you know, reasonably strong. So if anything, they should, I wish the game developers would just say, you know what, let's release it now for free. Let's forget about the few small amounts of dollars it makes us. Well, let's put it down to a ridiculous amount. Let's just let people buy it for $5.
Right.
That would be what they should do, because it's going to keep their communities and their games still alive. It's going to keep still growing. In the future, if they ever release another single player, Neverwinter Night, doubtful now.
Right.
If anything, it does them favors, because people remember what they did back then, where they were good to the community and kind of gave them something back. But I don't know. I mean, it's a funny world in corporations and game development. I'm sure they all have their own plans, and it won't be being nice to the community.
No. And I think one of the closing thoughts is the fact that, you know, when you talk about corporations and games and things, if you look and see what really has been going on more recent years with the Kickstarters, you see the corporations starting to get their ass kicked, right?
I am all up for indie game developers. They're the only ones that have got any sense of what a decent game is these days.
Right.
I love Steam. Steam with their green light and their, you know, pre-alpha praise. Brilliant. Keep it up.
Yep.
We all need to focus and help these developers and promote them. And again, going back to what we're talking about with the Unity engine, it's just given us all now that power, if you've got the knowledge, to build whatever you want and then sell it yourself.
Yep, totally.
If you build something decent and then you want to go to Steam and say, look, Steam, we've got this, blah, blah, blah. Steam will put it onto their system for you and sell it for you.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are on Steam? Millions.
Oh, yeah. It's changed the face of game development, and it's changed the face of the environment altogether. And I think that, you know, one thing that people don't talk about, you know, you're developing on Neverwinter Nights 2. People develop on Neverwinter Nights 1. It's a learning tool, because it is very similar to Unity in a lot of ways, Neverwinter Nights 2 engine. And the tool set, I mean. And number two, the fact that it's a model that was really personified, and I think probably more so in Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 than any other game ever created, as far as the accessibility of said tool to be able to do these things.
Well, if we look at the game community as a whole and what games are out there which provided their players with the tool sets, and we can take the Fallout series as well as Elder Scroll, those games have just got better and better and better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrim won't die. It will still be a popular game 10 years from now. People will still play it.
Yep.
Why? Because we have modding communities that are modding stuff. Every time a mod's built, the game developers then can look at that mod and say, right, how are we going to improve our next game? This mod that someone built is actually really good, so we can incorporate that in our next game, which helps them build a better game.
Yep, totally. So I couldn't agree more.
More game developers need to focus upon having these modding tools and the tool sets available for their games, giving it to the players and saying, carry on, do what you want, expand our game. People will do it for free.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that's one of the big things of why, you know, look at you. You're developing in Neverwinter Nights 2. It's still going. It's something
exactly.
Totally different. And
exactly.
There it is. Well, you know, in closing, the show, we're running out of time. and I hate when this happens. We have great conversations, but we're running out of time. But you know, is there anything you like to, one last thought or so that you'd like to share with the community, and give your website again for
if anyone's interested in getting involved, just come on to projectgaming.net. Project Gaming is a website that's been around for about 4 or 5 years. We run a few different game surveys. It's all about role play and having a community and players just talking about generalized loads of crazy stuff. But I mean, I was a director of that community for many years. I've resigned now and I've stepped back from things. But the people who are running it now are great people, and they do it for love. They don't do it for money. All they're interested in is getting people who are like-minded together and developing games and building stuff and doing stuff. And at the same time, if you've got a community yourself, or you've got a game you're working on and you want somewhere to have your own forums, or you want somewhere just to market your game, come on to projectgaming.net and we will give you forum space and make you moderators of your own forum space. Project Gaming's got 13,000 registered members, so we do get a lot of traffic. And if someone doesn't want to, you know, go through their mesmerol of setting up their own forums, come to us, speak to the guys who've got their names in red, and they'll get everything set up for you free of charge.
That's great. So I think that's the way you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
all for fun.
Yep, that's the way you got to do it. Well, I thank everybody for checking out this episode, and you know, definitely check out this awesome project. Keep your eyes tuned to it when it gets beta status and it's released, and you know, start playing. You know, that's my podcast tip of the day.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Hopefully we'll speak again in a few months when the game's up and live and running.
Yeah, please do. You know, you're more than welcome to come back on, give any updates and, you know, any other information you want to share with the community. Just, you know how to contact me, and, you know, I'll be here.
I'll poke you on Facebook. You'll know.
Sound awesome. All right. Well, podcast, you know, the closing line, and especially for your product, is going to be get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.